I move that we approve the minutes.
I second that.
From our last meeting.
That is an agenda.
So moved, right?
Get that to you.
Yes.
And this was just.
Extra copies. Thank you.
So did we vote on other weeks at the minute?
Oh.
Yes.
We take a vote. Yes, I think we should accept the minute.
I've never read a board meeting before, so.
You're doing fine.
So the second item on the agenda was, I think we can kind of skip since Tom mentioned that he has a resolution being written to bring David Konigsberg in as a member of the CAC. So that'll be, that's going to be, we're going in the 21st?
Correct.
Okay.
Gets introduced Monday, the 13th, and then voted on the 21st, Tuesday.
Great. One of the things I thought about after reading an email, I can't remember if it was from Holly or not, but our CAC webpage, since Jonathan has departed, has not really been updated, and that, we kind of need to do that. And Tom, do you know how, what's the best, do we have somebody here, the town clerk? What's that?
Well, Tracy, is your webpage through the city?
Yes.
Oh, then it's Tracy, yeah.
So if we want to have anything changed, we just
contact
Tracy.
Would you like me to do that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Well, we should make a list of the things that they're asking her to change.
So maybe, Linda, we can just send you a list of things to, okay.
And will we want to post the Holly's flyer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it done?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, she said it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gonna send it tomorrow or
tonight or tomorrow. I think she might have just sent it.
Well, that could you send that to the mayoral aide and he could put it on the main page.
Oh, good.
Oh, great.
Good, good, good. Okay.
Who is the mayoral aide?
Michael Chimides.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But you just, it's mayoralaid@cityofhudson.org.
Right, so, right.
Oddly enough, if you wrote to Kamal Johnson at cityofhudson.org, it would bounce right now because you have to write to mayor at city.
Right. Whenever I typed in Don Moore or Rick Rector,
right,
mayor would come up or mayor's aide.
Yes. It's live streaming. That's just being recorded. Yes. Assuming someone's listening.
Okay. Item four, I guess, kind of merges in with item three, that the flyer will be sent to the mayor's aide for being posted.
Tom, how did you find out about this?
Through Gossip to River Town.
Oh, great. Okay.
I'm glad we're live streaming.
We're not trying to keep it. It's good to know.
So, tree ordinance.
Thank you, Antoine.
Yes.
So, just so other, yes.
By the way, did you see the Catskill instituted an ordinance this past month?
No.
Yes. And it passed?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know the full details. I just heard it on the radio, so I won't know the full details.
You should get a copy.
But it's certainly worth looking into.
Yeah, it's public trees.
Yeah.
What I did, just so everybody knows, is I took several tree ordinances that Hillary found, right? And cut and pasted from them, and crafted one for Hudson, and this is just something for everyone to react to and rip apart and comment on. So it was a starting point, which I think is easier than having to look at several different topics.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is great, actually. I don't know the best way to respond to it. Do we can talk about it here, or we can send notes.
Maybe we could talk about the sort of bigger issues and together, and then send notes. I think both things would be good.
That's good.
Okay. Okay. So do you want me to just sort of go through the sort of big things? Okay. So the tree ordinance would cover a number of things all related to trees. And the first one thing that I have here is creating a tree board. And what I saw in the other ordinances we were looking at is that it was a 7-member board seemed to be kind of common. Approximately, I think it was 4 of the entities are from the city and are ex officio. So there would be someone from the county council, a member of the CAC, a member of the planning department, or other appropriate city department, someone from public works, and lay members, and then also a professionally trained person in arboriculture culture. So I imagine there could be some overlaps in those positions, like someone who is trained in arboriculture culture and is also on the CAC or is also on the planning board, but probably a minimum of 2 lay members. So approximately 5 of those would be ex officio, meaning they don't have a vote, and then there would be 3 voting members, which I think would be the CAC person and the 2 lay people.
Why do the ex officio ones not have a vote?
I just saw that in these other ordinances, and maybe it's they're just advising. And maybe it's streamlining the voting process.
Right, I see. Thanks.
Then just for argument's sake, because, you know, when I've been talking about it before, and one of the commitments that I made after our last meeting would be that I would contact the alder people from each of the wards and try to get some input about who in one from each ward might be good. And then I saw what you'd written. I thought, oh, good. Hold off on contacting about this. We need to discuss how a tree board should function. That's a step way down the road. But I still do feel that it would to get this good buy-in from the public. What if it was actually 7, 9 people, so that there are 5 that are voting, and that those 5 represent each of the wards. That way, because when you have a group of 7 and only 3 get to vote, I don't know, it just sounds a little.
And when you say represent each ward, a lay person or not the alder person?
Well, right, not the alder person.
Okay.
The lay person. Or maybe it would be somebody who is one of the 5 advisors.
Yeah, right.
So just in some way.
But just to make sure that all 5 boards are, just because it
mm-hmm.
tends to be that things that
right.
seem go first board heavy.
Okay.
In general. And so that's just a suggestion that we might think about the numbers differently.
No, that's interesting.
And also, would there be any requirement that the... Oh, I'm sorry. It's written right here. Never mind.
What's that?
That the people have to be residents of Hudson.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I see it.
And do you think 3 voting members is too small? Like, raise that to 5?
I think it lends itself to somebody being dominant and making all the votes go that person's way.
And if someone is sick or on extended vacation, that's
yeah.
a problem.
Yeah, so maybe it seems like there should be someone from each ward should be able to vote.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah.
Okay. Just as a possible working
yeah.
model. I do think that the pressure when there's three people is almost always the dominant person has their way.
That's good. And then maybe a bigger issue is this, they were in the different ordinances that we looked at, sometimes refers to the mayor as having the final say and the authority, and then other places I see the common council does.
Oh, I think it definitely should be the common council. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know.
I think it would, I mean, the way most things operate is the council recommends and the mayor signs off.
Okay.
You know, so maybe some fashion, some version of that.
Okay.
I think that most of the issues would probably also be taken up as conversations in the DPW committee when things need to be discussed. And so it kind of becomes a common council thing.
Right.
And it's
except for maybe when there are parks.
Right, maybe parks would be different. And that was one thing I wanted to ask about, how do we in parks, but I'm interrupting you.
Right. Well, to the parks, I mean, this is a tree ordinance, so there should be language in here like, you know, the public cannot touch a tree that's in a public park, right? I mean, anything that's on public property is really, you shouldn't be screwing with, right? And it's also not really your responsibility to. You, as a concerned citizen, can say, oh, there's a damaged tree in the park, you know, city official, you need to take care of it. But it's, no one's expecting a private property owner to work on a park.
That brings me to an interesting question. Is the ordinance strictly for citizens, or is it also for the city itself? So I was looking at another ordinance, and that I thought that they had to follow the same rules, essentially, as the citizens. So if there's something happening, if there's a tree in a park,
right?
That was the question. The DPW just couldn't go and tear it down. So
imposing the same controls on the city.
Right.
Okay.
Just like DPW tore down that tree on Warren Street, a month or two ago. And
instead of rallying a utility around it or something like that.
Or instead of forming the concrete around it.
Hmm.
So they just poured in new concrete, but then they cut a hole in the adjacent sidewalk and put in a small little tree. I mean, it just seems...
Okay.
There might have been better reasons for them to do it, but
from
a lay point, lay person would be lazy.
I wrote this in Thanksgiving and just reread it quickly on the train. So there may be some language in here about the city, but I think that's a really good point. So when you guys look through it and when I look at it again, let's see if it's not already here. And if it isn't, let's add something about that.
Good to define public space.
Yeah.
Because we talk about public space, and so I think we need to figure out how we would define that.
Sure. Like on page 3, tree permits and procedures, the first line says no person shall plant, remove, or otherwise disturb trees in public places.
Right.
So it'll define that specifically.
I was wondering maybe too. And some of the ordinances had a list of definitions or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe
add that back in.
That could be, and it seemed unnecessary when I first looked at it.
Oh, that's why I didn't put it in.
To us, maybe it does seem unnecessary, but I think that if this is going to apply to
it might clarify some things.
Mm-hmm. were certainly things that we wanted to draw people's attention to. So there's a section at the top of page 3, it talks about master street tree plan. It doesn't say that we have to have one, but that this would, the tree board would have the authority to put them together. So we can choose, I think we should keep that, but whether it's used or not, it doesn't matter. But the provision is there.
And whether they do it themselves or they find it, they put an RFP out.
So in this section on 3 about permits and procedures, there is public tree removal permit, and there are also planting permits, right? So the tree removal, I thought, was the most, had trouble with, or like, this is definitely going to need some kind of definition, because who is applying for this, right? Is it a homeowner or just a resident saying that a tree in a public space should come out? Or is this, Dale, where DPW has to get a permit or there's some procedure for public trees?
I wonder if it could be something like where all trees in the public way are public space, and heritage trees of a certain age, or I don't know if there's...
But what about the street tree that I have planted in the sidewalk in front of my house? Is that now a public tree?
Well, it is the public way.
Yeah.
But...
And then I have to get a permit to take it out.
Right.
And a permit to put it in.
Right.
First a permit to put it in, and then a permit to take it out.
Right.
But could I also get a permit to take out my neighbor's street tree? You know, could I?
No, I think it has to be your adjacent property.
I'm just being, I know.
Right, yeah, because somebody could easily.
So we need some clause about that here, because it doesn't really, I think, talk about.
Because Hudson has a very unique street tree situation.
Right, and public tree needs to be one of our definitions, right? Is that just a tree that's in the public way, or is it a tree on city property or city planted?
Right. And ownership of street trees.
Right, yeah, in the way this, the one thing that kind of scared me in some of the language that was here, or at this time, is that the street tree that I just planted in front of my house, I don't want DPW to be doing the pruning. That's my baby.
Well, if you look at page 4, and I'm sorry I didn't put numbers on these pages, but the section that says duty to trim tree or remove trees, the A says that municipality or its agent shall perform all necessary maintenance to preserve and protect street trees. I wouldn't expect DPW to prune mine, right? But, and then...
Well, it could be, too, that DPW, maybe there's some sort of language that states that DPW is required to inform the property owner adjacent to the street tree of their intention and whether or not they want to take on responsibility themselves or have them do it.
And this is like when it's, like, you can't walk underneath it. It's, like, blocking the sidewalk, that sort of thing.
Right. So it's sort of like, if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it, but we're giving you notice that we're doing it.
Oh, I think that's it.
That's in here.
But I think A, under the duty to trim, is confusing, and I think we need to qualify when the municipality is performing necessary maintenance to protect street trees. So, like, what is a street tree? Define that. You know, maybe there's a public street tree and a private street tree. And then which trees the municipality is touching. And then if you go to letter section D, it then talks about the person owning real property and their responsibility for the trees.
Right.
So that's clear, but I think maybe this should maybe be restructured so it addresses all the different forms of ownership and me.
Yes, responsibility. Because it's a funny thing is, the tree in front of someone's house isn't necessarily, they don't necessarily own that tree. They have responsibility for that tree.
Right. Once you put it out there in the public way,
yeah,
you don't really own it anymore, but you are responsible for it.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that's true, but it's not
really.
And
did you have to get permission to put that tree up?
I got permission from Dale. Oh.
And how about
and
the little prison you put it in?
I had my husband build it because I did not trust the snowplows.
Okay.
Not until it's this big around.
Oh, I see.
Oh, and the other thing
which
was,
is never moving.
Is the sidewalk ordinance finalized?
No.
Because that
we're just talking about it.
Yeah.
Some way. Right.
It's in the works. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Do you have a targeted deadline?
I mean, we're trying to do it right away, as soon as possible.
It's a tough one.
ASAP.
Because when I renovated my house, we had to put in a new sidewalk, and I did my concrete, so I put in a stone sidewalk. And so that's not city.
It's not up to that's not code.
That's not up to code.
Right.
So
you're screwed. No.
Now
you're gonna have to
now
rip
it's
it all.
Beautiful, but you're screwed.
No, in fact, the proposed ordinance will give leeway to certain, you know, as you divide up neighborhoods in terms of the progress being made, each neighborhood will have some say in, you know, if obviously on Warren Street, you can't have a lot of different types of sidewalks. That wouldn't work well. But, you know, people put in slate or whatever. It's not a big deal. It'll be allowed.
Mm-hmm. Or at least maybe a grandfather clause or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, so then I think in this duty to trim tree or remove tree section, we need to define all the different forms of ownership and responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the most complicated.
It's really helpful to talk through this here because you guys are surfacing a lot of things that I was curious about. Okay. So then, just back up at the top of page 4, public tree planting permit. Is there already a process for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because
yeah.
Dale approves the tree. So could you either like cut and paste into here what that
sure.
process is, or at least direct me to somewhere it's already all spelled out?
Yeah.
And is that something that we would want the tree board to take over? Don't want to, you know, lighten Dale's load unless he wants it.
I think that makes
sense.
It
definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
That it'll all be part of the tree board.
Yeah, that fewer entities.
It doesn't make sense
to
separate it.
Yeah.
No, I want to keep it.
No, it's mine.
It's
mine.
I like
the language that was, I'm not sure where it came from, that no. Cause no dog to stand near or sniff or even look at a tree.
Is that
no, I'm exaggerating, but it was pretty. It was pretty like, do not even. No person shall fasten or cause to be fastened an animal. Well, that makes sense. But I think there was something else that was saying, like, don't even let your dog look at a tree, much less pee on it.
Okay, and then on page 5, it just talks about like. I think that's a good definition. What do we mean when we say tree removal?
Mm-hmm.
We don't mean leave a stump there.
Right.
Right. No, that's important.
Or a hole.
Very good.
And then prohibited actions. F. Dale, I was thinking about the DPW issues that you had or have brought to us. And citizens. So what, like if they want to put in a, let's say they can put in a new curb cut, you know, but there's a street tree in the way.
Mm-hmm.
What's the procedure for that? Do they have to move their curb cut? You know, does the tree get to stay? What are all those?
Yeah, it seems like there should be some, I can't remember if there is, but that if something like that would occur, then they would be required to, if they have to take a tree out and they have to replace another tree with a certain size.
we should define that too here. I mean, like the Parks Department and the city, if you take out a certain tree, you actually put it back with many, many more. There's sort of a basal area replacement formula.
Is there a formula for that?
Yeah.
Good.
So we should have something here that is very objective, right?
Right.
That can't be.
And even just a street tree, if you're putting a curb cut, let's say, you're taking out a tree that's like what DPW just did.
Right.
The replacement tree shouldn't just be the smallest, cheapest sapling you can find. It has to have a certain kind of caliber that's reasonable for the amount of sort of tree well space that can go
mm-hmm.
in, so that it has a better chance of survival.
Well, and the tree should be reviewed with the board, right?
Correct.
Is that the right species, et cetera?
Right.
And then you could catch those things about the size and stuff. Does a code enforcement officer need to be involved with all this?
I think that if we're going to have an agenda that has this, an ordinance that has this many things to it, we need some form of enforcement. I don't know if it's something that we can visit upon the code enforcement officer because he's way overloaded.
Yeah.
Unless his position and number of staff are going to grow.
But that is a place, well, whether or not they're enforcing it, that is a place where you can catch tree-related issues,
yes.
right? Because he or she will be reviewing plans, and I would imagine a sidewalk plan adjacent to the building
right.
For utilities, like new connections and so on, and would probably at that point say you need to be referred to the tree board to deal with this issue.
It'd be similar to how he, Craig, deals with the Historic Preservation Commission, where it's part of the permitting process. And so these.
Like a checklist? Is it a checklist or like?
Yeah, I mean, he actually attends the commission meetings, but I don't think he necessarily needs to do that. But it seems like he would be the one who would have to sort of enforce it.
So we could
deny the permit.
Right. So he'd have to add tree board or something approval to his
right.
checklist.
Yeah, I think so.
That makes sense.
I just said that. I talked to Craig about it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
There's a technical problem with his review of it. So I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think it can be part of the permitting process in any way, but which isn't to say he couldn't do it anyway. You know, I don't know. He of course thought of obstacles, but
we need a way to catch it, though.
Right.
You know, someone either wanting to put in a new one, but it's in the wrong place or something like that, or
right.
taking one out.
Right. I would think he could just ask that question, but he seemed to think that has to be. That couldn't be part of the site plan. I don't know.
It seems like it'd be obviously part of. I mean, part of the site plan. Another, like if you're doing a strip mall,
right.
You have to have that planting plan as part of the site plan approval process.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
I mean, isn't sidewalk in front of the house part of the approval process?
I mean, when you just do a I don't know for simple, building. Plans, if that's it, must be that, right? I mean,
yeah,
I'll talk to Craig and see what he says.
Okay,
well, did you have to address any of this when you redid your house?
Well, we didn't do anything,
except you got a permit, didn't you?
We did, but apparently, our contractor slapped the back of Craig. And I mean, I did go. Before the HPC, and had to get approval for certain roof and things
right.
like that, garage construction and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I didn't. We were somewhat ignorant, new residents of Hudson, so we didn't realize just how much had to be approved, and so we didn't know we needed a permit for the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
We were just replacing something that was falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've lived here a long time. I wouldn't have known that either.
until I did my
All the sidewalk rules haven't been enforced,
right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, rigorously as, you know, the more important kind of rules. I mean, if it had, most people would be forced to change their sidewalk right now.
Right.
I mean, by code, you can do that, but we don't. Because it would be burdensome. I mean, who can cough? You know, a lot of people couldn't cough up $5,000 to get a new sidewalk right away.
And there are new sidewalks being placed, put in right now, especially by the Galvin Foundation, where there's plenty of room for trees, but they don't provide any tree wells for the trees. So I don't know what.
And now
most...
they have this program.
Yes.
Tree trees.
Right.
Okay. So there are going to be things in here that are just placeholders, right? Until we work them out. So. I guess that's it. So if you just look at it and provide more comments, unless you had any questions right now.
And would it help if I take a first stab at producing a glossary?
Sure.
And you know they had some in those other ordinances.
Yes.
So
I'll see what they have, but I think that I'm going to read through this as a new resident to the city kind of mindset, and also then try and read through it as the mindset of somebody's trying to screw them, you know, and just try to to make a list, and maybe it'll be too comprehensive, but we can edit it down. And,
okay.
So I will do that. Hillary, glossary.
And I'll get you the language for the
Okay. Right. Did Hillary's list need to factor into this, or is this a separate conversation?
Well, no, it's a separate conversation from the ordinance. I only put on my list the things that I had mentioned in the grant application that we'd be working on. So that, you know, hopefully we will get the grant, but I also didn't want to forget the things that we promised the DEC we'd be working on.
Oh, right.
Oh, but one note on that is that page 2 describes what the tree board has power to do. So I'm assuming that in the grant, the tree board is doing a lot of this, or maybe not, but like in the future.
Oh, yeah, in the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's make sure that these items are covered in this list.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good point.
Doesn't need to be so specific as, say, you know, MC Smith Elementary School, but allow for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. In fact, as I know you all know, but to become a Tree City USA, we have to do an annual Arbor Day celebration. That's
right.
Of some kind, you know,
right?
Planting, education thing, something. So that would be a good tree board thing for the future. And so with the continuing education unit with the school. I think that what our commitment as the CHC is to jumpstart all of these things in 2020 and be able to hand them off to the tree board.
The Tree City USA, how does that happen?
Well, we need to have a tree board is one requirement.
Okay.
So another requirement is to have a tree ordinance.
Okay.
That's why I should put that down here as a goal for 2020. If the other thing is we have to pass legislation, the city does, the Common Council has to pass legislation that it will commit to a budget of $2 per capita of the population of the city of Hudson, so $12,000 a year to tree maintenance and public tree related things. So.
Right.
It's not a huge budget item, but it's one of those things that would probably tend to get reduced every year due to other, you know, budget concerns.
So I bet it's probably already embedded in that.
That's what I was just going to say. It's
I'm
probably
sure it exists there.
Then
yeah.
We need to right,
that
have it be a line item
that.
And name
yeah.
it that.
And I, right. I mean, I'm sure just the maintenance they do it. However good or bad,
right.
Probably it comes up to that.
Planting would be included in that too? Well, is planting as well as maintenance, or is this just maintenance?
I think it's any kind of public tree.
So I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's.
Yeah, involvement.
And it's not Rob can.
Members can move. Yeah. So those are, and then applying, you know.
Once we've got all that.
Yeah, once you have all that together, then applying. And each year you have to update your membership in Tree City USA. But once you are part of Tree City USA, other grant opportunities mm-hmm. become available.
Great. Good incentive.
Mm-hmm. Did we want to? What's the next on our?
Well, it was tree board discussion, but we've kind of talked about that. So why don't we talk about what?
Okay.
It's not really fishing on here.
Right. I sent it fairly late today. So the things that our CAC letter of partnership for the grant application, what we committed to was the working on creating a tree board. So we're talking about that. Working on a tree ordinance, we're talking about that. Having an Arbor Day, Earth Day event. Mm-hmm. And what we had proposed was that it would be a tree forum with representatives from foresters and Cornell Cooperative Extension and landscape architect as part of a panel, and really what we want to do is get out the information of how important this asset is to us, to every single person. You read the language often, all too often in the grant application. But so it's mostly about education and getting people involved, and also being able to, you know, see who is really interested in various wards. And even if they're not on the tree board, but we might have little subgroups that are tree stewards of their neighborhood that would report to the tree board. We're just getting people engaged and involved and invested.
Tree police.
Tree police, absolutely. Your dog looked at that tree too.
Citizens Brigade, yeah.
You know, I think that like anytime you pass by a person every day on your way to school, or a tree every day on your way to school, or whatever, you start to have some relationship to it, and I think it's just kind of makes it part of your life, and then you start caring about something more. So I will, if we can look at dates for when we could possibly do this Arbor Day, Earth Day thing, we probably don't want to do it exactly on Earth Day because there'll be so many other programs, mm-hmm. but I can't remember when Arbor Day or Earth Day is this
April
year.
Something. Yeah.
April. The
They're close. They're like 3 days apart or something. So something in that week or the weekend before something would be good. And I would, if we think that the library community room is a good place for something like that, I could reach out to Brenda and see what's available. And then I could reach out to various people that could be on the panel. Oh, Soil and Water, that's another good one to have on the panel.
Yes.
And also, maybe we should make sure, I want to find out when, you know how Soil and Water has an offering each spring of plants for soil retention? Oh, if you don't know about this, it's a great program. Yeah, really inexpensive. You can get saplings.
Oh yes, yes.
And Pacassandra, yeah.
That's even for the town here.
No, but they offer for the public. That you can order these things in advance. And I think it's in April.
Find out their date.
March or April, yeah, definitely.
I think you have to have your order in March, and then it's available in April. Anyway, want to coordinate and get word out about that. Help them get the word out more, too. Because when people don't know about that program, or often people wish they had known about that program before they go and buy lunch of things that are fancy or shit.
Okay.
So that would be the first one to make sure gets going, and also to, sometime between now and the next meeting, touching base with the elementary school teacher, Marlene, and Brenda about starting to shape that program. And Carol Friedman, who I think everybody here knows, who did the volunteer tree inventory, headed up that couple of years ago, she said she would help with the school program again. Mm-hmm. And I think we could actually probably get Jonathan to do it again. Yeah, get involved. Make a guest appearance. So,
Great.
Yeah.
So maybe maybe you could send an email around about, especially about this, so that by the time we meet next in February, that people we kind of have a good discussion about it.
Yeah, and add Tree City to it.
Yeah.
That's a thing we need to do.
Yeah.
Right.
You didn't mention it, but the towards the bottom, Autumn, you have the Autumn Tree application request with the Gethin Foundation offer. Where did we decide to do a postcard? Where is that?
The Gethin Foundation said that they would be happy to put something together and spearhead that, but they wanted to wait till the new year to talk about it. So I just need to follow up with them again.
Well, we could give them, you could give them that time, we want to do something in the autumn because they have it ready by then.
Right.
If not sooner.
Yes, maybe it would be, might be good to...
For Arbor Day?
Yeah, it might be kind of a good thing to put out at Arbor Day so people can start doing their applications.
Right.
Because they're going to need to, trees are going to need to be ordered and things like that, so...
Well, if we could have, applications at the Tree Forum on Arbor Day, and
we'll have a table of information, and one of those things should be that card.
Yeah. The next item was going to be Crosswinds erosion update, but since Michael is not here and Timothy is not here, the two people who really know much about it, we'll skip that one for now. Climate Smart Communities, and that's been sort of Michael's, in his kind of bailiwick as well, but last month it sounded like my notes say that that the Cornell extension needed a letter of support from the city to submit a proposal, but Hillary reminded me that they were supposed to send us a template to write with us, and they have not. So
So that was Kelsey. Did anybody get her contact info last time? Kelsey, I will also just call her.
I did not. I personally did not.
Do you want to call
her? I'll call over there because I need to call over there anyway about the just seeing who might be a good panelist for the Arbor Day thing.
Okay.
So I will call Kelsey.
The other person's name was Audrey. Is that what
yes. It is. Thank you.
It's Audrey Crop.
Right, Crop, yeah.
Was it K?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Two P's.
And two P's.
Okay, that takes us to the bottom of our agenda, which, unless anybody has anything else to discuss, we need another acting chair for next month.
Don't know volunteer once, yeah.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you, Angela.
Of course. We'll just rotate.
Right.
And could you remind me that you need me to have the key? You don't have a key, do you?
I don't. Do any of us
have? I don't think so.
Jonathan had one, but since you're all rotating, I'll just make sure I'm here at 6.
Okay. We can get it from Jonathan. He must have it. Or he might have turned it in.
He might have turned it in.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get one if you want to.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Responsibility of that.
Yeah, that's no problem.
Okay.
Well, how do you feel about not having a regular chair? I know we're not a
book. There's something good and bad about having a regular chair. Good is that there's some consistency, there's somebody who's kind of making sure everything's in place all the time. I feel like in a way the good thing about not having it is that it kind of forces us to be more kind of proactive and responsible. But I think it's important to have it.
Yeah. I think that should be a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, do you have any questions?
No,
this is your first ever.
I'm definitely interested, and I might want to be involved. So, if somebody wants to take my email address,
well,
put me on a list or something.
Give me my card so you can send me your information.
Okay.
Great.
And then we can go from there.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
You want to tell us about yourself, maybe? And why you're interested?
You know, just generally, like many people, interested in environmental issues, climate change, trees, plants. I think there was something in Gossips of Rivertown a couple of days ago about quite a bit of a section about trees in this city and how it's inadequate, and it's clear when you go through the city how inadequate it is. State Street in particular, I'm thinking of. So, I want to be involved in something. I'm a New Hudson resident, but out of the committees, this one seemed the most interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Great.
What's your background?
I'm a real estate agent.
Okay.
In the Berkshires and Hudson Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I live here in Hudson and Clinton, on Clinton Street. You know, I like to be involved, but basically in terms of my availability, it's generally evenings, sometimes on weekends, but I often show real estate, so I can't always commit completely.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So,
this is the only formal meeting. We have one per month on the first Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m., so that's usually the only actual commitment to being all together, and then obviously doing whatever research or work we have to do on our own time.
Like you mentioned, somebody was going around town, I think, and taking a look at trees, or I don't know, that would be something that would be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was an Arbor Day event, I probably could work a couple of hours doing something with that.
That's great.
You know, the topic in general just interests me. So.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And you want to say something? They're nice people.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way.
There are fewer controversial committees.
Yeah.
Although, controversial
may be. Yes, sometimes.
Wait till they hear the new rules for drafting.
That's right.
One thing. Tom, you had mentioned at one time that the order of doing things would be probably to establish a tree board before an ordinance.
Oh, yes.
I mean, because the to get more
tie-in,
because if you...
I think that was more when you were talking about a tree ordinance that went beyond just public trees.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Okay. You're right.
It was more about
right
that.
Right now, this
you know,
one's
that's going to be the hard sell, not
that's
not the public.
That's
going to
be a very hard sell.
Yeah, this is just.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think that would be smart, Angela, to separate out the public realm trees for the starting point.
It wasn't intentional. It just was the way all the other ordinances were written. I don't think anyone really has addressed the private.
Yeah.
To try to manage that. I mean, it could be that once a tree board was established, they could maybe take that on as the next step.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
That was the idea, baby steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start with trees that you can see from the street. And you know.
Right, yeah.
And ones you can see from the air. okay. Thank you for sharing that, Sharon.
Yeah. So, I'd like to close the meeting.